All right, folks, this is a big deal. Not just because it's any episode of Lessons in Leadership. Mary, I will give you the honor of telling folks the magic number of this episode of Lessons in Leadership. Go ahead.
Well, I have to give a huge shout out. Sylvester, our wonderful editor, was the one who realized that it's our 250th episode of Lessons in Leadership. And get this, guess when we are airing right now? We are taping much earlier. We're taping in April. This is airing
April 2026.
It's airing on July 4th, the 250th birthday of our great nation.
No.
Yes. I mean, I planned it back in March. Well, I should say back in January 2020, when we started doing these video podcasts, I had the foresight in January of 2020 to know that our 250th episode was going to fall on July 4th, 2026.
I'm not buying any of that. Sorry, I fell asleep while you were bragging about yourself. So, no, seriously.
No, but it really is our 250th, and it really is airing on Saturday, July 4th.
Now, that is really special. So to Elvin, Frank, Scarlin, April, Sylvester, Mary Gamba, who this series would not exist
and
without
Amy,
Mary.
On closed captioning.
Closed captioning. I got to tell you something. Elvin, Scarlin, come out of here real quick. Let's celebrate real quick.
Elvin's camera was lagging because we've been doing this for too many years.
Well, April, stop hiding. You're the greatest makeup artist in the world. This is April. No, that's terrible.
And in post-production, we're gonna put up a little face right here. I'm going to point to it. Sylvester, you're going to put your face there, and we'll put Amy's face right here.
Elvin, Frank, Elvin.
Yes, sir.
What makes the 250th anniversary of Lessons Leadership so special for you?
For me, it's the fact that I get to work with all my friends. That's what makes it special to me.
And you don't even want to be—you don't even want to be paid, do you?
Whoa! I don't know about that. I got a son going to college in a couple months.
Yeah, but I thought it was so special to your friends. Frank, for you—you've been at this business a couple of years, like me.
You're muted, Frank.
Yeah, Frank's our audio.
The irony.
The irony. I know. I unmuted. I didn't unmute myself. I put myself on camera. What makes it special? I mean, the whole situation that comes from, you know, you guys sitting around talking and then actually comes to fruition and then it allows us to go so long is just a great thing. Like, you know, your ideas, Mary, Steve, you guys come together and you're able to come and get these things going. It's a great thing.
It's a great thing. And to our funders, by the way, all of our sponsors go on our website. None of this happens. No money, no mission. Without that sponsorship money, doesn't happen. Scarlin, what do you got? Runs on this side.
Right here.
What do you got? 250th.
Keep it up with Steve for 5 years.
By the way, when stuff we record at my house, I should acknowledge that. When equipment gets delivered to our house, who's it get delivered to, Scarlin?
Scarlin Adubato.
Scarlin Adubato. April, what do you got? 250th. Of all your clients.
You're my favorite.
Thank you. Okay, you're good.
On that note.
Thank you. Congratulations to the team. Mary, for you, why is it special for you?
It's just been really great. And we've talked about it a million times on Lessons in Leadership. I never saw myself doing this. I still don't see myself doing it. But I have to say, you saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. I watch back and I'm like, all right, I'm not that bad at it. So I love having conversations. I love learning about new people and leaning in. So thank you, Steve, for seeing that in me, because I would have never in a million years expected that I would enjoy doing this.
And let me say this, without Elvin, Frank, Scarlin, April, our entire team, Amy, Sylvester, I had an idea. That's what Mary knows this. He's like, guys, got another idea. Where's this going? All the ideas do not turn out like this. And the biggest reason this experiment has turned out to be so rewarding and impactful 250 episodes in is because of the people that you often do not see who are real leaders who make it happen every day and prop up people like me and Mary out front, even though Mary has a tremendous amount of work leading up to this. So I just want to say thank you to everyone. I have great, Mary, what's my favorite rock say these days?
Gratitude.
Yeah, I do. It's not just a rock, it's a feeling. Hey, thank you, team. And but
Thank
Mary, I
you.
have an interview that I did
Yeah,
with
we're going to
Regina.
throw right now a really great interview that you did with Regina Ejia and Brett Silver talking about another great leader. Steve, if you want to give this segue.
Yeah, Regina Gia from the Garden State Initiative and Brett Silver from Drew University, honoring, paying homage to a great leader, Governor Tom Kaine. Check it out. We are honored to be joined by our good friend Regina Ejia, who is founder and board chair at Garden State Initiative, one of our longtime partners, and also Brett Silver, vice president for university advancement and external relations at Drew University, a great institution of higher learning. Regina and Brett, great to see you.
Nice to
Thanks for
see you.
having us this morning.
You got it, Regina. We'll put up the website for Garden State Initiative to disclose one of our underwriters at State of Affairs, trying to make sense of state fiscal policy. But that is not this topic. Regina, tee this up for us. We had this conversation about our great friend and mentor, extraordinary leader, Tom Kaine, former governor Tom Kaine. There is a donation that Garden State Initiative, of $50,000 that your organization has made to Drew University in honor of Governor Kaine for specifically what? Because it has to do with a great governor's school that's been going on for a while. Go ahead.
Exactly. The Governor's School in the Sciences at Drew University, which I know Brett will speak about. But we were able to make that donation because we have established this award in Governor Kaine's honor that you mentioned. And, he continues to be the most popular governor in the history, recorded history anyway, of New Jersey. And it really is to not just honor all of his contributions as an incredible leader in public service as well as the private sector, his personal characteristics, right, of integrity and honor, as
Right.
well as his, commitment to public service. And, one of the main goals that we have is that this isn't just a quaint notion that these are the qualities of leaders that he was successful with, but that's something that makes government work best. And that's really what we're trying to recognize and remind everyone that there are he and others who perform like him are able to contribute to the state of New Jersey, and we want to honor that.
Absolutely. And Governor Kaine, also the former president at Drew University, a leader in education for decades in this state and this nation. Brett, pick it up from there. Talk about how these $50,000 grant from Garden State Initiative will be used to impact and benefit students who are looking to go into STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, and its connection to leadership. Please, Brett.
Well, first of all, we're extremely grateful to have received this gift, and it's extra special to be in the name of Governor Kaine, who lives on very large here at the Drew community with our alums and with everybody who's part of Drew. The beauty of the Governor's School is that it's tuition-free. Students from high schools all over the state are nominated by their teachers, and they come together in community for several weeks for an in-dorm, together, in-person experience, where everybody is on an equal playing field. They form an incredible community among themselves. Many of them walk out of here and say they felt for the first time that they could actually be a scientist. They find their voice, they find their community, they find their peers. They do incredible scientific research. When I go to the poster session every year, I have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. They are so far advanced in the science. And then they go out into the world and they go to Research One universities, they go to community colleges, they form part of an important scientific community in higher education, and then they go off into the world and they do incredible things in STEM fields.
Well said. Regina, how rewarding is this for you and the team at Garden State Initiative?
Well, as a policy organization, it is policy in action, right? This is having an impact, we feel on these students specifically that are in the governor's program and at Drew University writ large, that recognize and contribute to those who I hope will stay in New Jersey and contribute to a richer, fuller public life that we all want to have in the state.
Let me ask you this without getting deep into the curriculum. From your perspective, Brett, I often try to understand the connection between technology, science, and leadership. Artificial intelligence, STEM, and leadership. Am I off base here, Brett? There's a connection.
I mean, this is a burgeoning curricular field, right? I mean, things are changing. Things are changing as we speak. And we at Drew are thinking about this at the higher ed level. But we have to remember that students in high school who are digital natives in the way that people of our generation are not, and our faculty isn't necessarily, they come to this program with a different perspective on digital work, on AI work. And so I think what it's fair to say that our faculty and the students who come have an interchange. They're learning from one another. And we are also looking at how does AI and how does technology intersect with the future workforce and what future leaders are going to need to know. And what we're learning and we're seeing it every day is that we don't actually know, right? We don't know for sure. We can't dictate to the students exactly what they're going to take from these classes and go off into their work lives, which are still, you know, 6, 7, 8 years away. But there's absolutely a connection between technology education, leadership, and we hope that a lot of the students who come through here will be on the forefront, right, of going out into the world and taking this knowledge and redefining what some of leadership and workforce looks like.
You know, Virginia, I want to follow up on what Brett just said. And you and I have had these offline conversations, and by way of background, let folks know that you do have a background in government leadership positions, including, please share with folks.
As chief of staff to both Governor Christie as well as the treasurer while I was in the state of New Jersey.
So here's why I wanted people to know that as I asked this question. I often try to connect leadership and trust, or leadership and the lack of trust, leadership and the importance of trust. One of the things about Governor Kaine, and I served in the legislature for a short period of time when the governor was the governor in the mid-1980s, and I understood that he had this unique ability, even when people disagreed, he would disagree with them, they disagree with him, to build trust. The degree of trust that most people have in government is nowhere near what experienced with Governor Kaine in the 80s. Experience in New Jersey. Here's the question. Also, when he was the co-chair of the 9/11 Commission with then Democratic Congressman Lee Hamilton, one Republican, Tom Kaine, one Democrat, Lee Hamilton, analyzing and trying to make sense of what the horrific events of 9/11. Why is that relevant?
Well,
In the work you're doing, how important is creating trust in government for these students?
Well, the level of cynicism, I think, and as you say, distrust in many, you know, of the structures and the, not only just government, but I think in general, our societal structures.
In media, in higher ed, in all kinds of organizations.
Exactly. It's just extraordinarily high, I think. You know, my assessment is very high right now. And one of the ways that we can help impact that as a policy organization is to bring credible both ideas and substantial research and hold up leaders like Governor Kaine in terms of this has worked, can work, and will, you know, be important for going forward for those who want to go into both public, frankly, as well as the private sector. And the only way one rebuilds that is consistency. And I think one of the things that I always heard, at least while he was governing, you were there, but Brett speaks about it at Drew University, is he's very community building oriented, which means you have to get to know the people, you have to
listen
to them, as well as incorporate. And he's a big, as you know, his book about the politics of inclusion is one of his fundamental principles. And these
that's
are
right.
the things that I think people really will latch on to. And that's how you build trust.
A giant. Tom Kaine is a giant, not just in government, in the state of New Jersey, in the country, but also in higher education and education overall. So this, to repeat, Garden State Initiative, one of our terrific partners, a grant of $50,000 to Drew University in honor of Governor Tom Kaine to support the New Jersey Governor's School in the Sciences. To you, Brett, to you, Regina, we thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward to also having another one-on-one conversation. Every time I interview Governor Kaine, I learn something new. And we'll do that in the very near future. All the best. Thank you, folks.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
you got
Steve.
It. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Buccino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, Prager Metis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825, NJ Transit, the Northport Center, O'Toole Scrivo, Gingoli Construction, New Jersey Sharing Network, Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey, The Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, Choose New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, inspiring great minds to greater purpose since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Visitors traveling to New Jersey for the FIFA World Cup can use New Jersey Transit services statewide. Train, bus, light rail, and paratransit services connect riders to Newark Liberty International Airport, MetLife Stadium, New York City, and communities throughout New Jersey. New Jersey Transit Safe Passage Initiative raises awareness about the signs of human trafficking and encourages reporting suspicious activity. Travel information, schedules, and safe passage resources are available at njtransit.com.
A dream is just a dream until your ambition ignites it. Pursuing your legacy takes drive, resilience, and a financial partner who not only sees your vision for your future, but who will go all in with you and focus your ambitions for what you hunger to achieve next.
Welcome back to Lessons in Leadership. Greg Lalavie. Greg's in the house. Greg is the business manager with our great friends at the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825. Greg, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great, Steve. How are you doing? How are you doing, Mary?
Doing
it's great
good.
To be back.
So hold on. Ready for this?
Uh-oh.
When we introduced the show, Greg, we announced and celebrated that it's our 250th episode of Lessons in Leadership.
Awesome.
Okay, Mary, who was the guest on the first Lessons in Leadership in spring of 2020?
It was. So we were still in person then in January of 2020, and it was Greg Lalavie was our number one first. And that was not even intentional. I said, I wish I could take any credit for that. When I was looking at our lineup of guests today, and I knew we had our 250th episode, thanks to Sylvester, our editor, who noted it, I said, who out of these leaders would, you know, we have the most fun really taking a deep dive into it? And I said, oh, Greg. Then I looked because somebody this morning had said, hey, you know, when did you guys start Lessons in Leadership? And I looked and it was you. We're literally episode number one before we switched to completely remote.
Yeah. Do you feel honored, Greg?
I do. I now feel I need to be every landmark episode.
Oh, I love that. That's a great idea.
Well, when do we start doing it by seasons, like all the binge watching?
Oh my
God. Is this the end of season one yet?
Mary, we just keep going.
We never stop.
We never stop. Hey, Greg, listen, one of the other things that's really, other than being our 250th and Greg being our first guest and our guest now, is that Greg has been the most influential friend, leader, client, because also we do the 825 Leadership Academy. How many years? I don't know how many years we've been doing it.
Six or seven is pre-COVID, so we've been at this for a while.
But the thing about Greg is that he has been the most influential leader in my life and our organization, believe it or not, when it comes to artificial intelligence. He's pushed it. He's advocated for us to better understand. He incorporated it into the curriculum at the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 825 Leadership Academy, which I never would have done. And Greg, you also introduced us to this book. Sylvester will put up the screenshot of this, The AI Savvy Leader, 9 Ways to Take Back Control and Make AI Work, David DeKramer. Why this book and why is it relevant, Greg?
Well, I found it sort of by accident, but looking for the intersection of leadership and AI. AI is something that's obviously here. It's not going anywhere. The amount of stories that one can find, online, in the news, never end. And I felt like I really had to get my arms around what was going to be a fundamental change in life and the workplace leading a large organization.
So in that way, we're going to turn this into a Lessons in Leadership mini video seminar, which will be on our website at stand-deliver.com. Before Mary jumps in, Greg, let me ask you, let's do some bullet points. If you had to pick a few bullet, just first bullet point, best practice when it comes to leaders, advising leaders. By the way, one of the messages in the book is that stop complaining about AI or saying AI isn't what it was supposed to be. The big one of the arguments I picked up in reading the book is that De Kramer, the author, Greg, argues that we as leaders are the ones failing when it comes to utilizing AI. What is one best practice you want to advocate to our audience?
To do your best effort to understand it, to use it, to try it, to understand its limits, because it does have limits, to understand that it's not just this binge efficiency thing. You know, so many of these headlines are, you know, the sky is falling. Oh, my God, we're going to wipe out the workforce. I don't subscribe to that theory, and I don't think Dr. De Kramer does either. This is about augmenting what people can do in their jobs, in their workplace, even in their families to some degree, if you really start to play around with it. So it's here, and it needs to be dealt with. But as the leader of the organization, I felt like it was my responsibility to understand it and not get it shoveled at me by the IT department, who might just be looking in IT parlance to quote unquote optimize everything. That's not necessarily the goal here or the best use of AI.
Mary, as you jump in here, David De Kramer, Dr. De Kramer also says that, and Greg just said it, he talked about the AI, you have a great tech team, you know, Dave, Mike, Dalio, the whole team, they're all terrific. In the book, he says great leaders cannot delegate the technological revolution or technological incorporating technology and AI into the organization. You can't delegate it. You have to be a leader in that. And by the way, another bullet point, Mary, that Greg pushed us on in one of the seminars, he just said it before, play with it. Play with it, experiment with it. Is that a fair bullet point, Greg?
It's very fair, because I think the more that a leader does and people through an organization play around with it and test its limits and figure out different ways to use it, is you'll be shocked by the creativity of the people, what they'll come back with, not necessarily in eliminating jobs, but for instance, what we've found here is that the more people quote unquote save time, it's not to eliminate their jobs, but we're putting better service out to our membership, better information out. We're making better use of our time because we've just messed around with some things and found things that work and done it experimenting.
Trial and error has its place. Go ahead, Mary.
Yeah. So, Greg, all this sounds really great. Okay. But if we flip it on its head, what about that AI anxiety? So that is going to be our next bullet that comes up on screen. The fear, not only in using it, but the fear, if I use it too well, are people going to lose their jobs? Talk about that AI anxiety.
Oh, hold on. You're saying confront it? Okay. Just AI anxiety. Go ahead.
Yeah. I don't want to even put anything into Greg's head.
Got it.
No, but it's, I think we can just look at history. You know, being somebody from a labor background, I can go back and if we look at mid 19th century England, where the textile industry built the looms rather than hand weaving, machine weaving, there was a lot of unrest, a lot of worker unrest, a lot of rioting and violence and everything else. But on the other side of it, those who took to the technology of the looms and mastered it, still kept their jobs. There was actually more work out there to be done. There was, you know, the same type of inflection point when assembly lines came into the auto industry in the 1930s. You had a lot of worker unrest, a lot of people nervous about their jobs, and that didn't do, you know, in the auto industry, it expanded the company's ability to build cars, get them out faster, it created more jobs. So we're kind of standing at the exact same point again, except this is not necessarily manual labor. This is dealing with high-tech technology and electronics.
All right, how about this one? I like Mary's anxiety one, but this is a spinoff of that. How about this bullet point? Leaders, don't be afraid of AI. You buy that?
Absolutely. I think leaders have to lean into it. Anybody who leads an organization.
Further, Greg, I was afraid. Hold on. I'm sorry for interrupting. Sure. I was afraid. I had anxiety. I avoided it. And you said to me, and Mary, you both know this. Greg said,
thanks, Greg, I think.
I'll be really concise. Greg said, you can't be a leadership seminar coach. Steve, you can't do this leadership stuff until you lean in. Greg, I don't really know. He goes, stop. You got to do it. And then he forced me to try some things. And I'm less afraid, less anxiety, learning more. Don't be afraid, Greg. Pick it up.
No, never be afraid, because it's amazing what you can find out or what's possible. And the AI is improving all the time, and different platforms, as I continue to learn and grow with this, different platforms have their strengths and weaknesses also. ChatGPT is great at some things, but Claude's better at some other things. So it's experimenting all around the world with it. It's not necessarily leaning into just one of the large language models. It's you know, messing around with all of them and figuring out what their strengths and weaknesses are. I spent the day we had several weeks ago in the snowstorm, and I just messed around for probably the whole day trying to learn Claude and figure it out. And I was astounded by what it could do and how it could do it.
Who's Mary? Who's Claude?
Claude is one of the LLMs. So
stop, Greg.
What? It's a large language model. It's one of the chats, if you will.
Claude was one of the leaders at 825.
No, ChatGPT is probably the best known one by its name, but Claude is just another chat platform.
Did you know that, Mary?
I did.
Why'd you make me look bad on
I just was leaning in and let it happen. Sorry, go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Greg, we are honored for you to be with us for our 250th, to teach us more about leadership and AI, to have been the first guest on Lessons in Leadership, but most importantly, for being a great friend, mentor, colleague, client, blah, 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 sponsor and all that. We learn together all the time, because I'll tell you one thing about Greg Lalaby, other than being a really good golfer, he is a lifelong learner. Do you plead guilty?
Absolutely. One has to be. And this this whole rise of AI has been something that has just piqued curiosity and led me down several rabbit holes, really, but a whole vein of learning to be had.
Good stuff. For Greg, Mary, myself, our entire team, we just want to say thank you to our audience of Lessons in Leadership, to our sponsors, including 825, who helped make it possible. This has been, I know it's a job and I know we get paid, but it's a lot of fun and it's very rewarding. Thanks, folks. I have a lot of gratitude. I know you do too. See you next time.
This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Vecino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, PragerMedis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825, NJ Transit, the North Ward Center, O'Toole Scrivo, Gingoli Construction, New Jersey Sharing Network, Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey, The Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, Choose New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, inspiring great minds to greater purpose since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media.
Visitors traveling to New Jersey for the FIFA World Cup can use New Jersey Transit services statewide. Train, bus, light rail, and paratransit services connect riders to Newark Liberty International Airport, MetLife Stadium, New York City, and communities throughout New Jersey. New Jersey Transit Safe Passage Initiative raises awareness about the signs of human trafficking and encourages reporting suspicious activity. Travel information, schedules, and safe passage resources are available at njtransit.com.